Hi everyone, thank you. What is stewardship? I think you have been doing this subject for some time, right? I get it from the Oxford Dictionary. So it is a kind of an act involve taking care of something or managing something. So that may imply there must be a master who assigns something to someone, right? So it's kind of a master and a servant, and may imply also the job description, right? And appraisal, which some of us may be very familiar with appraisal, right? Especially at the end of the year. So that's something from the world we may be facing. So what is stewardship in the Bible? There is this one in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Is this clearly describe us as stewards, right? We Christians, followers of Christ, we are the stewards. And each of us will be given a gift, right? So don't complain that I don't have a gift. No, each of us do have a gift. So that we have a gift, and we are supposed to serve one another. So take the opportunity to serve. It is a blessing that we can serve God. And we are meant to serve God because God saved us from sinners, and we are the follower of Christ, and we are building the church together. So we can see from God we have different kinds of grace, different kind of gifts. So it is how we can make use of it, and then we will work together to build more. Different kinds of gifts has been illustrated in different passages, like in Paul once said, we are like Christians are like a body of Christ, that we have different parts, so different parts with different functions, that but all together we do not need to those with more talents should not be too proud, because it's given, right? And those who do not have much, do not look down yourself, because even your little finger is painful, the whole body don't feel well. So this is how we Christians, we come together to serve God. So basically, these are all the different kinds of gifts that we may have. So in Romans chapter 12, it also specifies that different serving, different gifts that we can help the church to build. So we may have heard some other passages about gifts, about serving, and today we would like to, through this parable, to see how stewardship is taught in this parable. So this is actually the topic that our Lord on Mount Olive, he was a few days before his crucifixion. So it is very, very last word that talked to the disciples about the future of Israel, the world's end time, and his coming. So under this context, this parable is taught. So let's see how we can be reminded about stewardship in there. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you have given us the best gift, Jesus, your only beloved Son. And through him, we can reconcile with you. May you help each of us to know you more and be good stewards. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's look at the parable. The very first verse, that there will be like the kingdom. They will be like a man going on a journey who called the servants and entrusted to them his property. So let's move on to grocery. Property in here means God's kingdom, or the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, which is similar, very interchangeable, because Matthew's audience is Jewish people. So that's why they try to avoid saying the sacred name of God. So they used the kingdom of heaven. But in other other gospels, we'll use the kingdom of God. So which is the same. So the property, it means here the man asking the servant to take care of will refer to God's kingdom. And we may come across the word talents in here. So talents is a form of a measurement of weight. So if a talent of gold will be a measurement about 33 kilo of gold, or a talent of silver, whatever. So talent is kind of a measurement in that sense. And during that days, it will be about 20 years of income of an average person. So the calculation was there. If you're quick in math, then you may figure out what I've been just saying. So one talent is quite a lot of money. Think about in our day, right? What is the average income of Australia? You know more than me. So say if it's 70,000 a year? I don't know. Yeah, maybe. So 20 years of that. That is the amount that their boss trusted in the servant, okay? That is the least one. Okay, now move on. That the characters, is obviously the man implied here means God and his servants, right? I will take it as ABC is easier for reference. So A is the one God has entrusted 5 talents. Okay, 5 talents is the most. And B is the person God entrusted 2 talents. And C, in this context, is the least God has entrusted. But think about what I have said. 1 talent is actually 20 years of income. So even the least servant, our God has entrusted 20 years of income. So think about the verse we discussed before, 1 Peter, right? Each of us, God has given at least some gifts. So don't say that I don't have gifts. Yeah, we do have gifts. So, okay, now move on. What then? Then it's good that how the man, the boss, distribute the talents. Is it by his own, he closed his eyes and just distribute whatever? No. This man, the boss, is wise. So he distributed according to the ability. In verse 15, it says, according to the ability of A, B, and C. So it seems like A should be entrusted more, and C the least, yeah, in that context. Now, once ABC has been entrusted of the money, then they are working, right? So the master move on to do something, so the ABC is working. Do you think C is working? C did some work. He hired the talent, right? A verb is a verb. So while A earn is the verb, right? While A earn 5 more, B earn, also the verb, right? Earn 2 more. But C, also a verb, that he hid. his only talent in the ground. Okay, so we know that we all know that we will meet the boss one day, right? So now it's an exciting moment that when the boss return, then settling accounts with A, B, and C. So thanks to Fiona for reading out the whole parable just now, so we may know the what had happened. So we know A and B, they got the same comment, right? Even though A earned more than B. But the comment will be, your favor over a little and will set them over much. So for this little project, you earn 5 talents or 2, then the master will entrust you more later. So right now, wow, share the joy of the master. So that's the comment. It's very good. Share the joy of the master. Sharing the joy of the master, because I believe our Lord will reign on earth physically for 1,000 years. And we, followers of him, will reign together with him for 1,000 years. So imagine that we are royals. We are sons and daughters of the Supreme King. So now, what we are doing now, before being the final princess and prince, we are trained to be royal family members, right? So don't be afraid about the ups and downs while we are on this earthly journey. It's okay. It is the path that God led us to learn, to experience God's grace. So, and one day when we meet God, 2 options, either at the end of our life or while we are still living the coming of Christ. That is what has been told us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Share the joy of the master is the eternal reward. The joy, only joy in God, peace and love. So it's so great that this A and B can share the joy of the master. C, you know the problem of C? Being lazy is not the real problem. Lazy is not the real problem. The real problem is what? The heart. His heart. The heart directs his actions. His heart is not good. What was his heart? He accused the master being a bad boss. What did he say? He just said that you are a hard man, unreasonable. You know, he just said you are unreasonable. You are a hard man. You didn't sow, but you expect whipping. So that was a really bad boss, right? You didn't put money in the bank and expect interest from the bank, isn't it? So that was bad. But that is not the boss. It is his wrong accusation to the boss. So that's why he just said that, because of that, then I was afraid of you. Afraid of you. Afraid of the boss. And then I just hit your entrusted money in the ground, so that here you go, I will return the gift to you. So that's quite amusing in a way that he presented something first, accused the boss, you are bad. I am good, even though I'm lazy, right? I didn't lose your money, here you go. So, you know, God knows our heart, and he knows why we lied. So this boss, just using his very word to give him the verdict. You know, God just judge us according to what we said and what we done. So here you can see the response from the boss. If you think I'm such a bad boss, why don't you put your money in the bank? At least I will have some interest, right? Where is my interest? You did nothing but hiding my entrusted talent to you, which is 20 years of your income. So the person speechless. And the result is sad. Then there is a sad result. So in Matthew, he used a place for whipping and gnashing of teeth. So this is a special wording only in Matthew 6 times. And 1 time in Luke. So snatching of teeth has the Old Testament reference, meaning being hostile to the righteous. So you can see this phrase in Psalms and in Job. But only Matthew putting the whipping and gnashing of teeth together. This is always the response to some... To describe someone receive the final punishment, being cast out from God into the darkness, into a place which is really the opposite of enter the joy of the master, sharing the joy of the master, which is the opposite. Whipping and gnashing of teeth. It is going to the fiery place where demons were there, will be there. Yeah. So this is not a good place. It is the final verdict for this servant. So of course this servant did not really know God. If you really know God, then you won't be like that. So that basically is the parable. So let's move on about the what we can get the stewardship principles from the parable. First, I'll use the crown because it's kingdom, right? So the logo must be our Lord must be a king. So I use crown. So the first very principle. Very, very important principle is God who entrusted talents is good, fair, and righteous. Why God is good? God is good. It is the basic nature of God. God is good. God is good. Whenever you are doubt, go back to Psalm 136. It says God is good. For whatever reason, God's love, it is continuously dedicated love. So the love is not stopping. I love you today and then tomorrow I'll think about it, kind of love. The love is continuously steadfast love. So another term to use is continuously loving someone. So it's the steadfast love. So God is good because he's using this kind of love to those he loves. So God is love. It's always good. So we never doubt the nature of God. The second point is God is fair. Back to the A and B. Obviously, A seems earn more. If you look at the quantity, isn't it A better than B? A earn more than B. But God is fair because God judges according to what he has given. The more he gives, the more he demands. So that is what in Luke 12:46 it says that everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. From one who has been entrusted with much, much will be asked. So probably you are not familiar with this, but you definitely heard about a famous line, with great power comes great responsibility. That is from Uncle Ben. It's a famous line. But remember this, this famous line actually inspired by the Bible. Bible writes much, much longer than whoever Uncle Ben or the Marvel work. You know, a lot of movies we are watching today was inspired from Bible or twisted from the Bible. So our Lord is the wisdom, the source of all kind of wisdom. So remember that if you think Luke is harder to remember, then remember this. With great power comes great responsibility. So if God entrusted you more, you are demanded for more. So that's why God is fair. He gave the same verdict to A and B, even though A earned more. So God is righteous. God is righteous. It's the nature of God. Righteous is the opposite of sinful. So God definitely is not what C said. Expect harvest without effort. No, that is not the God we trust. It is actually the opposite. We are the one reaping what Jesus has sowed. Isn't it? We are weeping. We did not do anything for eternal life. But our Lord, as the worship team just let us praise God, that it is purely the work of our Lord Christ that we are reconciled with God. We are weeping what our Lord has sown. So our God is a righteous God. He is not the bad, mean God accused by servant C. That is totally wrong. So our God is good. Our God is fair and righteous. The second point we can see from there, it is God knows his stewards. He knows which one can be entrusted more, which one can be entrusted less. So God knows our stewards, and he gives us what we can take. So just now I heard Matthew is announcing whoever come to serve God, it is your privilege that if you have time, or even though, yeah, just come. Even though you don't have time, you can squeeze, actually. So come and see how you can help. Come and see how you can help. And God knows us. It is so good that God knows everything. I like the verse from Isaiah 46, chapter 46, verse 10. It says that he knows the end from the beginning. Wow, that is so powerful. How come our God knows everything? Because he knows the end from the beginning. That's why he can accomplish everything. So he knows the end from the beginning. Our Lord knows his steward. There is a famous person, Abraham Lincoln. He said one thing, which is very interesting, and is also inspire. Even though Lincoln is a great president, he also inspired by the Bible, inspired by Joshua. When Joshua meeting the angel of the Lord, so Abraham just say, my concern is not whether God is on my side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side. So that is his favorite quote. Everyone quote this, that Abraham Lincoln do this. That is the greatest one. But that is not the full quote. The full quotation it is, my concern is not whether God is on my side, but my greater concern is to be on his side. There is a reason. For God is always right. That is the rationale behind this. For God is always right. That's why we are on God's side. We are on the right side. So because our Lord has won the battle, he declared victory on the cross, and his final victory will be at his coming. So we are the stewards of God. Then we look forward to see him, the great, great final victory. And where we are faithful servant will be given the command, you guys are good and faithful. Why good first, faithful second? Because good is the heart. You need to be good first. If you are faithful, you can be not good. You know, some of the tried people, they may be faithful to their master. They may not do good things. So good, it is the heart. So your heart is good, then you are faithful. It's very logical. So the comment, being good and faithful, is the very logical comment. We need to be good and faithful. So the third point from the parable, we need to watch. Do not grumble against God. You know, grumbling is a bad thing. Grumbling in the Bible, when you look back to the history, where the Israelites coming out from Egypt on their way into the Canaan, they grumble a lot. Grumble is a sign of unbelief and rebellion. It says lost in the Bible that grumbling is not good. So the greatest grumbling was mentioned in Exodus 16, 2 and 3. The whole congregation grumbled against Moses and Aaron. So the content will be this. If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There, we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. So they, in other way, they're just saying, if you didn't do any action of salvation, I was very happy in Egypt, along with the meat, I can enjoy. Isn't it? That is the biggest lie. When they were in Egypt, they were slaves. They just groan every day and ask for God's help. It is not this picture that they can enjoy the pot of meat or whatever, very happy kind of life. Oh no, that is the wrong one. They were grumbling to death, that asking God to help, to send Moses. God sent Moses. They just ask God for help. Then God sent Moses to lead them out of Egypt. So in here, their grumbling is without reason. They just thought that they were good. But in fact, when you are very tired, when you were a slave, and you are so, you work so hard for your master. Did you imagine that if you work one day for so long, even though the good food in front of you, you rather sleep? That's the kind of life they should have in Egypt. But at now they are twisting the word and say that I'd rather die instead of being saved by you. So that is the biggest grumbling. So that's why they accuse God as bad, the same as servants see, isn't it? Accuse God first, you are bad, you didn't sow, but you expect whipping. So that's the same kind. The grumbling group in the Old Testament, it is the same as servants see. So we do not learn from them. That is the bad example we shouldn't learn. And there is a Psalm 95, that illustrate the whole point and concluded that God swore in wrath that they, the grumbling guy, shall not enter his peace. His rest is the same. So in God, there is a rest, peace, and whatever joy, it is interchangeable. Because with God, you always have peace, joy, and love. So when you are eternally with God, this will be the description that you have the rest with God, and you have the God's love and peace, whatever. Yeah. So that is the positive, very nature of God, that the God is the one who gives peace. So that's why God swore that this guy cannot be with him. That's basically the meaning. So we are not that type of people, right? We are not the grumbling guy. Even though we might have grumble, but don't make our grumble permanent. We may grumble against God, but when you read this passage, you know that it's not right. Reconcile with God. We may sin. We may accuse God when we do not know him, but it's okay. We remember that if we confess our sin and come back to God, our God is gracious and God will forgive our sins. So whatever you may have a wrong accusation against God, you might grumble, or you may have some negative thing about God, but just come to God again. Present yourself. God, I'm immature. I didn't look the whole situation better. So help me to go through. Help me to know you more. Help me to understand you more. So that's the way of reconciling with God, that we do not continue on that side. Because our God is not that kind of God. Our God is what? Good, fair, and righteous. Not limited to this. But for today's passage, I'll just put it as good, fair, and righteous. So since our God is good, he is righteous, and he is fair, we can entrust our life to him. When he entrusted gifts to us, we just make sure that we utilize what God entrusted in us. If you are not sure that I do not know what kind of gift I have, you know, the biggest gift is your time, your body, your whole self, your life. It is all God entrusted in you. Tangible things, intangible things, everything from God except sin, are given by God. So don't complain that I do not have any gifts. You do have a lot. Even though the least servant, God has entrusted 20 years of income to him to run his property, the kingdom of God. So, we can actually contribute, each of us, together to build the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not limited to the church environment. It also applies to your home, your workplace, your friendship group, whatever. Be God's witness. Be the good and faithful stewards of God in our time. And we may be weak, but God is there. Remember, God has won the victory. God is our power. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you have entrusted with us all the gifts in our life, including our life. Thank you for all these. Thank you for choosing me to be your servant. We humbly came to you that we are weak. We may sin against you. We once grumbled against you, but please forgive us and please clean our heart. Make us right with you, just like David. Reconcile with you, be honest to you about what we have done wrong, and give us new life to come to you again and give us power to overcome sin and always follow Lord our Jesus as the example to live our life. And may you will say us be good and faithful servants one day when we meet you. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.